Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I'm FPL Dean and today you're here for Game Week 30 differentials. Yes, it is still a week away from the deadline, but I have worked through trying to find the 1 week bargains that you need, potentially if you're holding off for a wild card in Game Week 31. But if you're like me, most likely going to activate the wild card in 30 due to all the injuries and other things that are gone. I've got all those updates and then I've got the differentials for Game Week 30. Thank you to everyone that has subscribed over the last week. I don't know where the support has come from, but thank you very much. It does mean a lot. And yes, if you are new, please smash a like on the video and share it with your friends. And also subscribe if you haven't already. And without further ado, let's jump straight into it. So, Game Week 30 injury updates. Now, the international break is... This is why I think I've always preferred the wild card over an international break. And it's very simple for a couple of reasons. I played my first wild card in Game Week 12 because I looked at when the third international break was and I wanted to make the most out of it and make sure that I wasn't going to be done by any other international breaks. The good news is, after this one, there's none left. You don't have to worry about them anymore. So that's what you just got to worry about. So look, unfortunately, there have been a number of players that have been substituted with injuries during the international break, which include Chris the Woody Woodpecker went off overnight with what looked like a bit of a hip injury. Depending on what reports you read, the severity of it is either it's going to be life-saving. No, I'm joking. Honestly, Wood's probably going to be fine, but in reality, it's not a risk that you probably want to go. Gordon also left the England international camp after he was injured in the first game against whoever it was, and I watched the game, so I should know, but I watched him go off, and he went out of my wildcard draft pretty much immediately, and Bruno stayed in because of that. So Gvardiol, again, he also went off injured potentially. I've read today it was a groin, but then other people are reporting it's a hamstring. Who knows? He's not currently flagged, but it has been noted that he has gone off injured. Mikalenko, another injury. Alisson Becker, head injury apparently. That dude is just injury prone. With more games still to be completed as well. Obviously, the South American people, they always play like tonight, I think, or tomorrow even. So there's still chances of even more injuries that may affect the popular assets. Now, on that, Jackson Palmer, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Robinson, Watkins, Strand Larson, Kulusevski, Mateta, and many others are still all flagged within FPL. And potentially, there's actually heaps of players that are on there. These ones are the ones that I think are the most relevant to most people out there. But if you are interested, go to the status page on the FPL app or on the website, and it'll tell you all the people that are currently flagged. Some of the times they do over-exaggerate, like people getting a little knock or whatever. Yeah. Also, that therefore means that I believe that this is definitely, combined with knowing what the FA Cup results will be before the deadline for Game Week 30, the best time to wildcard. I actually think that I'm almost 90% certain now to activate the card. Unfortunately, there hasn't been too many price rises that I've been too worried about, which is why I haven't activated it yet. But it is getting to that point in the season where these kind of things are going to be happening. So you've just got to be on the pulse and hope for the best. So onto the Game Week 30 fixture difficulty rating. And this is super important to look at for this week in particular. If you're just sitting there playing a 1 week punt, then it's brilliant. All you have to do is look down that fixture ticker. You'll see that Bournemouth's playing Ipswich. You'll see that Crystal Palace is playing Southampton. You'll see that Liverpool's playing Everton. Leicester is playing Man City, which is really good for Haaland owners. We would like to hope anyway. Brentford and Newcastle. Not sure if that's really a green fixture for Newcastle. I think that's a pretty even game, to be honest with you. And then obviously West Ham have Wolves and Wolves have West Ham. They both are cut on this fixture ticker is green. Obviously, if you are wildcarding, that's why I put the Game Week 33 teams to target on the left, which is also part of my chip strategy. If you caught that last week, it's very important to note that. Also, Game Week 38, I know it's miles away, but that's why I prefer the free hit there rather than Game Week 34, where I think the fixtures are going to look potentially much better. But for this week, as I said, Bournemouth for the team to target, Crystal Palace with that Southampton fixture, Liverpool versus Everton, Man City versus Leicester, and probably Newcastle and Brentford, either or at this point. I like both of them in this particular week. So, the differential notes that you need to be aware of. Many people will be actively looking for a 1 week punt this week if they're wildcarding in Game Week 31. It makes a lot of sense. The earlier time I actually rolled no transfers into my first wildcard, and I used the last one on a one-week punt on Dominic Solanke. So there's no way that I'll ever recommend a Spurs player again. So based off how well that one-week punt went, I one-weeked him in, captained him, and that was against Ipswich from memory, and they lost 2-1. It was either that or it was Leicester, one of the two. I can't quite remember. Obviously, if you were wildcarding in 30, you are after chasing those pods, point of differences. And that is what is going to make you rank or potentially lose it. But hopefully, I've got you here covered with potentially hopefully gaining rank rather than losing it. So the players that I'm not covering all of these in this detail. I picked the four best in each particular segment as I normally do every week. But the goalkeepers are Sarr, Areola, Kepa, Pope, Leno, Becker. Verbruggen also fits in this category. However, I got burnt by him earlier in the season. I'm not recommending him again because of that. Defenders, it's Kerkez, Aitnori, Timber, Burn, Wan-Bissaka, Milenkovic, Trippier, Livramento, Lacroix. Don't even know if I said that right name right. And Gahee. Mitchell's obviously on there as well if you really want to take a punt there. I think Richards as well, potentially. Midfield, it's Minté, Semenyo, Savinho, Matoma, Jay Murphy. Gordon is on here. I just don't think he's going to be too badly injured, hopefully, touch wood. So I still think he's a really good option, even though he's suspended for this particular game week. Gibbs White, Foden, Alanga, Bowen, Eze, Ismaila Sarr, Marcus Asensio definitely needs to be talked about. He's not featuring too heavily in this video because of the fact he's hasn't got his spot completely nailed on, I don't think, for Aston Villa, which is why I can't go into too much detail. You've got to be starting, and you've got to be a guaranteed starter to make this video. Suchet, Kudos, and Damsgaard also feature. Forward line, it's got to be Mateta. Mateta is the pick for me with that Southampton fixture. As long as he plays against Fulham, it's all systems go on him. Vanlinson, Jorgen Strand Larsen, that's JSL. Jackson also needs to be coming in back into the picture. He's rumoured to be getting closer to a return. And if he is back in a return, Chelsea will be a much better team. Cole Palmer will be a much better player. And Jackson's likely to be involved. Gakpo is now actually a really good differential, particularly with Liverpool's run of fixtures coming up. And Raul Jimenez, he's got to be in there. He's still pretty good for the value that he offers moving forward. But before we go anywhere else, we're going to talk about the assistant managers with table bonus. Now, everyone knows that I'm all about chasing the table bonus. And there's actually seven different managers, seven different teams with table manager bonus this week. And this, I think, is the order I've got them in. And I'm not sure if I've got it right. Well, honestly, Juric versus Crystal Palace, I think we can put that down as Southampton are just bottom feeders. They're championship material. They might even be championship material. They might end up getting relegated to League One with the way they're going. honestly, they're just not good for Premier League. Van Nistelrooy versus Man City, absolutely no chances as well. Unfortunately, myself, I will not be doing any damage against them. McKenna versus Bournemouth is an interesting one. Bournemouth's run has not been overly fabulous, particularly at home of late. They've lost the last three in the league at home. Can Ipswich cause an upset? I don't realistically think so. Marco Silva against Arsenal is definitely an interesting one. Now, I potentially have got him in the wrong order, and maybe he should be higher up. I just think that Arsenal potentially will start back pretty well in preparation for their Champions League against Real Madrid. But it's mainly due to the fact that the other three managers I don't trust anywhere near as much as Marco Silva. Marco Silva, I think, has been brilliant. Obviously, the downside is he does play in the FA Cup, which maybe means that the game against Arsenal will be a bit of a write-off, which is why I've got him in at number four. Ange Postecoglou versus Chelsea. Now, this game could be anything. There's goals always guaranteed in this fixture. So, can they get a result? I mean, Chelsea's form has not been overly fabulous, so I wouldn't be surprised if they were disappointing. So, again, Chelsea, can they get a win? Not sure. Amrin versus Nottingham Forest. Now, I actually think Man United are a sneaky chance of winning this game against Nottingham Forest. They've definitely seen an upturn in results. Obviously, being a Man United fan, I am slightly biased. But the last time he had table bonus, which was against Arsenal, he got a draw and he got 9 points. So there's nothing to say that he won't. Nottingham Forest are not as good as Arsenal. And they have been conceding goals of late, and Bruno Fernandes is probably the hottest form player in the Premier League at the moment, probably even above Mo Salah, with the fact that he's literally carrying a team full of basket passengers. And trust me, I know, because I watch them every single time they take the field. But Frank versus Newcastle. Now, Brentford have been horrible at home since the turn of the year, but they've been amazing away from home. And Newcastle may be still a little bit giddy. They're still going to be missing Gordon. Maybe this is really the fixture to be targeting. Maybe Brentford are actually going to do Newcastle, which is potentially the only reason why I wouldn't wildcard this week, because I still currently own Wissa and Mbeumo. And potentially, playing him against Newcastle this week may not be the worst option in the world. So, on to the differentials for this week. And we are going to start with the goalkeepers. And I have absolutely no clues why part of that writing is in black and why part of it is in white. But that is my only stuff up today. I'm pretty confident. And normally, this is the one video that I always put out that has an error in it. But thankfully, it's not that bad of an error. It's just a little bit of writing is in white and a little bit of it is in black. So now you can actually tell me if you prefer the black writing or the white writing. No idea how that happened. But essentially, Pope, I think, is the one I like the most. He is definitely making a wild card draft for me. 3.4% ownership. Now with Gordon out, with Brentford at home, Leicester away, then Man United at home and Crystal Palace at home in the double game week 32. 4.9 million. He's under 5 mil. And I just think that he's going to be really good. I think that Newcastle are going to keep some clean sheets here. And Nick Pope is hopefully going to be the man to do the job in the goals. Kepa still needs to be talked about. Ipswich at home is a lovely fixture. West Ham away, Fulham at home, 3.1% ownership. Again, when you compare Pope and Kepa, 1.31 expected goals per 90 conceded for Kepa compared to Pope's 1.38. They're pretty similar. Kepa obviously costs you 0.3 million less. The way I look at it is Newcastle have at least one extra fixture compared to Bournemouth between now and the end of the season. So if that's why Pope, for me, wins out here. And I think that's going to be the crux of why I think that he's the best goalkeeper to buy. Jose Sa has been proven to be quite a popular asset to be buying so far this particular game week. He's actually very close to a price rise. He is on 4.3 million. But again, you can't be expecting Wolves to keep clean sheets. They've played Southampton and conceded. They played, Leicester or someone else, and they conceded. There's no guarantee he's actually going to keep a clean sheet. And is he going to get the save points? I'm not 100% sure. Again, they've kept 5 clean sheets for the season. I wouldn't be recommending targeting them, hoping for clean sheets. I just don't think it's going to happen. In terms of Areola, 4.5% ownership, he's already in my team. We've doubled up with Fabianski at the moment. So his stats are slightly better. But again, they're only taken from one part of the season where West Ham were conceding lots of goals. And then the next part of the season where Potter has come in and they're conceding less goals. So maybe the data is actually a little bit distorted compared to what it probably should be. For me, I think he's great. And West Ham's run through the end of the season. I know it doesn't look overly fabulous outside of the Wolves game in the next 3 weeks. But after the Liverpool game, West Ham have a beautiful run, I would say, through to the end of the season. And there's definitely the potential for clean sheets here. And Potter has definitely been working on tidying them up defensively. And I think that's going to be important in terms of which goalkeeper you pick. But for me, Pope is definitely number one this particular game week. So, on to the defender differentials for game week 30. And look, it still has to be Milinkovic number one. I don't care what anyone tells me about Arsenal defence as elite and all the rest. I've got Timber here, because I think that Timber is actually the best Arsenal defender to buy. Ben White is not going to be coming in and taking his spot because he would have done so already. It's not going to happen. The only way that Ben White gets in front of Timber is if they're resting Timber for the Champions League. And if that's the case, they're going to be resting a whole boat of players to make sure they don't get injured against Real Madrid. So if you're not thinking that way and you want an Arsenal defender, Timber is definitely the best. 5.6 million. He is a lot better value for money than Gabriel, particularly as long as Saka remains out of the team. The set piece delivery is just not there. And we've seen that for a sustained period of time. Gabriel has not had an attacking return since Saka went down with injury. That's all we need to know on that. Milinkovic, on the other hand, has been absolutely flying. 4.9 million he's up to now, 10%. So if he gets any higher ownership rating, he will not be featuring in this video anymore. I'm very glad I have him. Again, if you look at the expected goals conceded per 90, Julian Timber's on 0.78. Milinkovic is on 1.19. So yes, Arsenal's defense are much better at keeping the ball out of the net. However, that hasn't transcribed to clean sheets. Milinkovic is beating Timber by 2 clean sheets. Nottingham Forest get 2 clean sheets more than Arsenal's defence. Arsenal, unfortunately, have been conceding sloppy goals and just given the odd one away, which has been highly annoying if you've doubled up on their defence throughout the season. And I just think that that's what it comes down to. Again, Milinkovic's expected goal involvement per 90 is 0.15. That is elite. That is the same as Gabriel's, and you're paying 1.5 million less. There's a reason why he was the top defender to buy last week. It's the reason why he is the top defender to buy again this week. That's why the man is a beast. Nottingham Forest are on a complete bender at the moment in terms of, well, him just delivering points. And he's definitely my favourite one. Williams, I just think that you got to pay up for the value here. And Milinkovic is a beast in and around the box. If you're after a cheaper way into the Crystal Palace defence that isn't Munoz, Lacroix is really good. 4.5 million, so he's less than Gay, who's 4.6. He's definitely nailed. He plays every game. Again, the run is pretty nice. Southampton straight off the bat. Brighton home as well following that. And then it's Man City and Newcastle away. Not ideal fixtures there, but that's why I prefer Munoz. But if you're after a differential and you wanted to double up on, say, the Palace defence, he's not a bad option. Again, 1.25 expected goals conceded per 90 is pretty elite. And his expected goal involvement per 90 is 0.12. So again, that's actually pretty damn good. He should probably have more returns than what he has. It's actually pretty comparable to Milinkovic's and other defenders. He just hasn't been quite as clinical in that box. In terms of Dan Byrne, again, it's the same reason why Pope, the run of fixtures is just so good for Newcastle between now and pretty much the end of the season. Is he, and without Hall in that team, I just think that you're not really relying on the attacking returns. We obviously saw him score that really good header in the Carabao Cup final. He obviously played well for England, and he got in the end of a couple of corners as well. So again, 4.4 million, he's the cheapest. So he's cheaper than Livramento, he's cheaper than Trippier, and you're really getting what you pay for. But again, Newcastle kept 9 clean sheets, and with the run of fixtures they've got, I would expect them to be keeping more clean sheets as well. So for me, I think it's Milinkovic, Byrne, Timber, Lacroix in that order. But honestly, I'd just be chasing value, particularly with Byrne over the other Newcastle defenders. I think he's the one that I will be buying into my team. So onto the midfielder differentials, and this week it is still Jarrod Bowen. Now, Jarrod Bowen was my second favourite midfielder to buy last week behind Bruno Fernandes, but he is now number one spot. Again, he probably won't be making this video again this season. He's up to 10% ownership. He's obviously started for England in the second game in the international break as well. Wolves away is a beautiful fixture to be buying him into. 0.26 expected goals, 0.2 expected assists per 90. 7 goals and 8 assists for the season, 7.6 million. So you missed out when he was at 7.4. I've even missed out, but I wanted to hold Brian Mbeumo, but if I do activate the wild card, I can give you a hot tip. Brian Mbeumo will become Jarrod Bowen. I will not be thinking about that one at all. Jarrod Bowen's fixtures between now and the end of the season are significantly better than Brian Mbeumo's, and that's why I just would recommend that. Now, Ismaili Assar is a move I've actually made myself this week. I got rid of Cole Palmer and I bought in Ismaili Assar. He's up to 4.3% ownership. Again, Southampton away screams points. And I would expect that Eze and Ismaili Assar, you could take your pick. I'm picking Ismaili Assar because he has been a bit more clinical than Eze over the last couple of weeks. But Eze did score for England, so that is something to keep in mind. But he's also significantly cheaper. So 5.6 million still. He is due for a price rise before the deadline. So make sure you get on before then. 7 goals, 4 assists for the season. 0.37 expected goals per 90. 0.23 expected assists per 90 is insanely good for the price that you're paying. Absolutely brilliant. If, like me, you're concerned about Anthony Gordon missing this week and potentially being injured after that England game, then Jacob Murphy's the man. 3.5% ownership. He only costs $5 million. Dirt cheap. Great enabler. And his attacking output's actually been really good. 5 goals, 8 assists for the season. 0.21 expected goals per 90. 0.2 expected assists per 90. Again, he's got a beautiful run of fixtures. He could easily be one of your 3 Newcastle assets moving into double game week 32, and you could be expecting him to deliver against some of these teams, especially at Leicester game, screaming points there and potentially a lot of goals as well. Then the last one is Alanga. Now, I said Alanga was a better pick than Hudson-Odoi last week. I still thought that Gibbs-White was actually a better pick than Alanga, but he has already returned against Manchester United this season. The fact that he's playing them at home this week, Chris Wood is out. I would be expecting Alanga to be involved. Awoni might even be a good shout in the forward line as well, depending on how bad that injury is to Chris Wood. Now, none of the Nottingham Forest midfielders have amazing attacking data. Alanga's actually got 0.19 expected goals and 0.18 expected assists per 90, which is almost identical to Morgan Gibbs-White, who you pay literally 1.3 million more. He's got 5 goals and 8 assists, which is also fairly comparable to Morgan Gibbs-White. But again, 5.3 million is always going to cost you. Again, a fantastic enabler. And the form has been there. I mean, since the very start of the season, he wasn't overly, didn't kick the ground running when he got on. But then he had that massive purple patch during the middle of the season where he was literally returning every week, I think, for like 6 or 7 weeks. Then he went off the boil a little bit, but he came back with an absolute bang last game week. And I would be expecting him to kick on, especially against Man United, who will be out to impress against 100%. And lastly, that brings us on to the game week 30 forward differentials. Now, Cody Gakpo is on here because of the fact that Liverpool have a nice run. And I think that almost 100% with Luis Diaz coming back from South America, he is almost likely to be benched. If Gakpo's fit, which he's not yellow flagged anymore, and he did play for the Dutch team. I did check the games just to check that he did. He also has really good data. 6.7% ownership, 8 goals, 4 assists, and Slot loves him as well. 7.4 million he's dropped down to now. 0.38 expected goals per 90, 0.17 expected assists per 90. He's a great differential. Not many people are going to be looking here. Lots of people are going to be looking at Marmoush and other players instead. But Cody Gakpo, if you're happy to roll with him, he could definitely deliver some points over this particular moment in time. And I think he's an actually really good asset for the foreseeable future. Just because of the fact that I think Liverpool are going to drop off a little bit defensively, but I still think they're going to be pretty good attacking-wise in terms of their attacking data. Evanilson is also there, 3.3% ownership. The last time I did this video on Game Week 29, he was 0.6% ownership. So lots of people have been jumping on board, and it is because of the fixtures. Ipswich at home, West Ham away, Fulham at home. 3 pretty good fixtures in a row there. Potentially, he might also have Manchester United whacked in there in Game Week 33 in a double up, depending if they can beat Man City or not. 0.45 expected goals per 90, 0.08 expected assists. He's got 6 goals and 4 assists for the season now, and he's dirt cheap still. 5.7 mil. He is, again, another really good budget enabler. And if you don't have a third Bournemouth slot taken up, he is a great particular option to invest in. Strand Larsen repaid the faith. He made the video last week, and I said, you've got to play the fixtures. Wolves fixtures are super good for this week. Now, he is currently flagged with a hand injury, but I can't see a hand injury keeping a forward out because you can't score off your hand. So I'm not overly concerned about that. He has now got 0.28 expected goals per 90, 0.03 expected assists per 90, 9 goals, 2 assists for the season at 5.3 million. He has gone up in price, so he's not as cheap as he was. And he's obviously up to 2.7% ownership. But the next 3 fixtures in particular, while we know that Cunha is going to be banned for all of them, He screams minutes, he screams points, and I think you could do a lot worse than investing in him for a couple of weeks. But my best forward to buy this week, and best differential as well, Mateta, 5.5%. Now, he is still yellow flagged, 75% chance of playing now of that head injury, and obviously had a lot of stitches, but it's been 3 to 4, I think it's almost going to be 4 weeks, and we do expect him to play against Fulham at the weekend. So if he plays against Fulham at the weekend, it's all systems go on Mateta, especially against that Southampton backline that just consistently give up big chances. They give up more big chances than any other team by a country mile. And Mateta's got 0.48 expected goals per 90, 0.09 expected assists. He's got 12 goals and 2 assists for the season, and a 7.5 mil and a 5.5% ownership. He will get very close to 10%, I would imagine, before that Southampton game, particularly if he plays well against Fulham. And Southampton away, Brighton at home, Man City away, Newcastle away. I expect Mateta to deliver points in almost all 4 of those games. He was in a very hot run of form prior to that injury, and I would expect him to continue to be so upon his return to the side. So those are my differentials for Game Week 30. Let me know what you think in the comments. Is there someone that you would have preferred me to delve into based on the names I put at the very beginning? I obviously honestly thought about putting Savigno and Phil Foden in here, but unfortunately, Pep Roulette is a thing, and I can't guarantee that they're going to be starters. And at this point of the season, that is what you need. With double game weeks coming up, with blank game weeks coming up, you can't afford to be having players that are not playing or that are injured. So look, obviously, if a player was injured during the international break, I haven't covered him. And look, I'm probably not going to be back now until after the FA Cup, with my top transfer tips ahead of that and team selection in the 2 days prior from Sunday through to Tuesday. But I will be back on Saturday morning with a live show looking at wildcard drafts with Alan. I've organized with him. He's going to be back. We're going to get him on screen. He's going to come with his best wildcard draft. I'm going to come with my best wildcard draft. And that will be a live show. So please look out for that. I'll schedule it for later in the week. And I hope to see you there. And if you've got through to the end here and you've liked it, please smash a like on the video and subscribe if you're new. The aim is to get to 1,000 subs by the end of this video. And I feel like you guys can help me do that. Thanks for watching. That's been the D Unit.